In a message called Doing What's Right, Chuck Swindoll quotes the bold and courageous prophet named Micah.
Micah would probably not have been called in most churches in America or Canada or Australia or any English-speaking countries. Not in our day. Micah spoke for God without fear and without reservation.
In a day when moral issues were compromised, Micah declared God's standard. And it's a standard that applies today. Hear Chuck Swindoll's clear and convicting message titled Doing What's Right by requesting a free copy on CD.
He has told you, O men and women, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
You're invited to request the complimentary CD from Insight for Living titled Doing What's Right. There's no cost when you go to insight.org/doing right. Again, that's insight.org/doing right. Have you ever felt homesick for a place you've never been? Well, according to Chuck Swindoll, the genuine follower of Christ should feel a little bit unsettled. Whether we're in the house with our family or on the road with strangers, we need to cultivate a longing for our eternal home. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll explains why that sense of anticipation is a blessing, giving us comfort even during painful circumstances. Presenting his final message in the series, Things to Stop and Start, Chuck titled today's message, Stop Criticizing Earth and Start Contemplating Heaven.
Turn to Revelation 21. That's next. Very near the end of your Bible, and so grateful these chapters have been included, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You know about the atmosphere, that'll be new. You know about this earth that has been your home all your life, the streams, the mountains, the rivers, the sea, the hills, the plains, but all of it will be in that future home new. Look down at the rest of verse 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. All of this is beautifully prepared for us who will come to inhabit this place God has prepared. Now, how will life be in that place? The passage continues, 3-6. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. They will be his people. And if that isn't clear enough, he repeats, God himself will be with them. There'll no longer be this distant sense of communication. There will not be any formality. There will be no mystery, no fears related to him. You will be at home with him. You're in his home. If that isn't enough, we get into verse 4 and it gets really exciting. Here again, imagine it. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Pain creates that fluid that pours out of our eyes. This place, there will be no such experience. No tears. We've never known such a place. We were crying when we were born. We were screaming when we came to this earth. Many are weeping alongside the bed of those who were dying. Tears, constant tears, pain, sorrow, suffering, and then the ultimate death. No, there'll be no more. The list could go on. No more wheelchairs. No more crutches. No more hospitals. No more funerals. No cancer wards. no bone marrow transplants, no grim diagnoses, no addictions, no suicides, none of the things that bring pain and tears. Look at these words. No more tears from their eyes. No more death. No more sorrow or crying or pain. All these things. Look at the last word. Gone forever. Now I tell you, and I got a pretty good imagination. I have to stretch my imagination to think of forever and ever and ever and ever with no sense of pain, sorrow, sadness, tears, or death. My life is filled with individuals who live in this realm. Of course it is. That's the role of the pastor, those who care for the souls of others, and often in dealing with them, if not while with them, as soon as they've left my presence, I'm in tears. I was with a lady recently who could hardly speak above a whisper. And she lives with a terminal cancer. And she lives alone. And as she whispered her situation to me, I put my hand on her arm once and I said, just wait just a minute. I just want to be sure I'm taking this in. And she has told me her situation, and it is just about as bleak as you can imagine. And when she left my study, I closed the door and I just wept. For her. There is nothing I can do, but the one thing I did do, and that was to pray. And that's why she came, with prayer together. In heaven, look at this last statement. All these things are gone forever. The one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And he knows we need that reassurance. Then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. He also said, it is finished. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. And he goes on to say more. I'll get to in a moment. I thought, I'm not the best spokesperson for this. I need to quote from someone who knows what a suffering is all about. And I chose one of our heroes, whom we all admire. Her name is Johnny. Johnny Erickson Tata, 1967, took a dive into the Chesapeake Bay, hit her head on the bottom. It was more shallow than she expected. She broke that one vertebrae that changed everything in her life and has had no feelings from her shoulders down since then when she was a teenager. And she writes about this. Having just addressed the story of heaven, listen to her words. I still can hardly believe that I, with atrophied muscles, shriveled, bent fingers, no feelings from the shoulders down, will one day have a new, dazzling body that is in wonderful working order and clothed in righteousness. Not to mention, I'll also have a new mind that doesn't want to resign or quit. That's right, the spinal cord injury I've lived with since I dived into the shallow water in 1967, will no longer keep me from the pleasures I have missed for so long. And she named some. Horseback riding, plucking guitar strings with my fingers, or simply throwing back the covers in the morning and hopping out of bed. She's never done that since 1967. She continues, can you imagine the hope heaven gives someone who is disabled? Whether by cerebral palsy, brain injury, or manic depression? No other religion or philosophy promises glorified bodies, minds, and hearts. Only in the gospel of Jesus Christ do hurting people find such incredible hope. You may not be paralyzed with a broken neck, but you could be paralyzed by other limitations, a broken heart, a broken home, a broken reputation, those earthly things that may be screaming for your undivided attention and hampering your happiness or a reminder that this short life can't deliver a lasting heaven on earth. The temporal troubles we face may slam the door to sustained satisfaction in this life, but then again, they can throw windows wide open to a vibrant hope of heaven. For those of us who have never known a disability, but we know those who are disabled, we can feel vicariously how thrilling this information must be for them. No longer needing assistance in moving about, but now able all on their own to move and enjoy and find great delight in this place called heaven. God bless you, Johnny. Few people can say it like she can say it. She was going to minister at a former church I served, and she was a little nervous about coming out in front of a crowd. It was packed. It's always packed when Johnny's there. She said, "Chuck," she says, I'm not sure what all I'll say. And I said, "Johnny, let me give you a tip. I'm going to roll you out there. You just sit there. You are a ministry. Whatever you say is cream on the pie. Just your presence, your attitude toward life, the beauty of your countenance, your ability to live with all you've lived with." You know what happened? Tears. And then I started crying. We were a mess back there before we ever came out in front of the congregation. And you know what? We brought her out, and there was an explosion of applause. Why? Because we have such admiration for her. And here this great lady writes of what is for her the sine qua non of existence, and that's heaven. It's heaven. You think she doesn't think about it? Every day of her life, she focuses on it. She lives with these disabilities, and it's a constant reminder. Our precious daughter has a son who struggles with a special need. And every once in a while, I look deep into her eyes, and I see a longing that little Jonathan would know relief and the kind of normal life that you and I call normal. I mean, to him, even though it's on this earth, that would be magnificent. 16-year-old boy told his brother recently he thinks he'd just rather go on to heaven. I'm telling you, folks, this is a glorious, glorious future. This is where we are heading. This is home, and we're away from it. Life in that place is going to be absolutely magnificent. And a major part of the reason is who will be there. Listen to the list. No names. They're all in the book of life. Look at this list. Verse 6. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All of those people there will be thirsty people who have found satisfaction in the springs of life. I love the piece. Whom have we, Lord, but thee, soul thirst to satisfy? Exhaust the spring, the water's free. All other streams are dry. I found satisfaction in the streams of living water, and no other stream satisfied today. All those who were there will have found that satisfaction in the water of life. Look at the next list, verse 7. All who are victorious. Doesn't mean the warriors and the champions and the people who fought through the battles. This is victory in Christ. This is Romans 8:37 victory, where we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We triumph in Christ. We are triumphant because our Savior has triumphed. This will be for all, look at the end, who will inherit all these blessings. I will be their God and they will be my children, not those who have earned getting there, not those who deserve being there, not those who paid the down payment and bought their way in. No one like that will be there. Nobody's going to strut around with 19 crowns either. You know, how many crowns have you got? Well, I've got 8. Well, I got 19. None of that. We do that on earth. That's why we hang 8 gold medals around our neck at the Olympics, you know. I won 8 of them. Woo, woo, woo. Won't help you at all getting into heaven. No gold medals, no silver, no bronze. You get there by the blood of the Lamb. You get there through the cross of Christ. You get there through faith in the Savior. That's why we're called the children of God. You know what it is? We inherit it. We inherit it. Have you met people that have inherited money? I mean, it's the strangest thing in the world. You expect it to be kind of, whoo, you know, big time deal. Sometimes they're kind of schlocky looking. You say, how much are you worth? Well, I'm worth billions. How come? Well, my dad was worth millions and he gave it to me. Well, you know, Insight for Living could sure use a lot of that. Or whatever may be the moment, you know, you say stuff like that. You're not there because you're loaded. You're not there because you're made All-American. You're not there because you are a Nobel Prize winner or a Pulitzer Prize winner. You're there by the grace of God. And that's all that matters. There's no bragging. You don't brag without an old sin nature. And that sin nature is taken care of when your whole body's changed. It'll be an existence like we can hardly imagine. And I cannot wait for that moment. Okay, you can be sure of these 3 things. Well, really 4. The 4th one is I'll be through after these 3 things. You can be sure of that. Okay, here's the first one. Any place God plans to be, you want to go there. Any place God plans to be, you want to go there. We read in this passage, God himself will be among them. Verse 3. If he's going to be there, I want to be there. Here's the second. Anything God removes, you don't need. You don't need pain. You don't need sorrow. You don't need death. You don't need suffering. You don't need fear. You don't need shadows. You don't need night. Anything God removes, you don't need. And we read, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes because you don't need them. You cry when things are sad, heartbreaking, remorseful. You have none of that there. Here's the third. Anytime God makes an offer, you're wise to what? Accept it. I will give, we read in this 6th verse, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life, verse 6. I will be their God, they will be my children, verse 7. He makes an offer. In this world of woe, you may have achieved a number of things, but I'm going to tell you something. Compared to what we've just gone through, you've got nothing compared to what this will bring. I look back on the words of a man I've read on a number of occasions, very famous in the UK, named Malcolm Muggeridge. He was once the editor of Punch magazine, known for his satire. Very bright, clever mind. Very keen wit. Often in his former days before Christ, vulgar to the core. And the Britishers found in him a great deal to admire. Then he turned to Christ. Listen to his words from his book, Jesus Rediscovered. I may, I suppose, regard myself as a relatively successful man. People occasionally stare at me in the streets. That's fame. I can fairly easily earn enough money to qualify for admission to the higher slopes of the Internal Revenue Service. That's success. Furnished with money and a little fame, even the elderly if they care to, may partake of friendly diversions. That's pleasure. Might happen once in a while that something I said or wrote was sufficiently heated for me to persuade myself that it represented a serious impact on our time. That's fulfillment. Fame, success, pleasure, fulfillment. Yet, I say to you, and I beg you to believe me, multiply these tiny triumphs by millions. Add them up. Add them all up together, and they are nothing, less than nothing. Indeed, a positive impediment measured against one drop of that living water Christ offers to the spiritually thirsty, irrespective of who or what they are. I love those words. It reminds me also that when we are in glory, we will be impressed with no one but Christ. No one will we walk up to and say, could I have your autograph? May I take your picture? All of us on the very same level will be there because we have found our faith fulfilled in the one person who made that heavenly home possible, and his name is Jesus. I'd like you to bow with me for a few closing quiet moments together as we think on this. Even though it just about beggars the imagination, try to let your mind go there for just a few quick moments. A heavenly home, a place free of what we would call the sorrows and trials of life. Try to imagine a relationship that is fulfilled in a face-to-face manner with the one who made you, the one who has given you life as you know it on this earth, is now one among you. If you haven't a relationship with him, no wonder life has become for you nothing but a cynical battle with the events of this earth. I urge you to lift yourself above that. You do so by faith in the person of Jesus. You trust in him who alone can give you fulfillment and satisfaction and a reason to go on from this earth to the next, the new heaven and the new earth. Father, enable us to realize what we are missing by sustaining life on this earth so that we might have a genuine heartache for home. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to accept the message of truth from a book that is ageless, timeless, true. Speak deeply to each individual today in a way that becomes for them life-changing, so they will no longer be satisfied sitting around criticizing earth. Now that we have begun to contemplate our glorious destination of heaven, give us a sense of a healthy homesickness so that we anticipate the place where we will be forever and ever. And thrill us anew with the hope that you have made possible through the death of your Son. May it make life more bearable for those who suffer so while on this earth. And now, Lord, dismiss us with a reminder that this heaven is our home and this is our guaranteed place of residence forever. Through Christ, in whose name we pray, through whom we claim these blessings, everyone said, amen.
The undeserved inheritance we receive as children of God gives us access to eternity with Him. You're listening to an encouraging finish to the 9-part series from Chuck Swindoll called Things to Stop and Start. And on this final day in the study, we invite you to stop by our website and purchase the 9 CDs or the downloadable audio files at insightworld.org/store. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. On this final day in the month of February, it's our last occasion to mention the exclusive book from Insight for Living, written by several women on our ministry team. Chuck commissioned this book, knowing that these issues are far better addressed by those who truly understand the unique pressures and challenges facing women today. Spend a little time looking at Facebook and Pinterest, and it sometimes does little more than feed insecurities and disappointment. Well, this book is designed to help you tune out the countless blogs, magazines, movies, and social media sites that seem to reinforce unreachable standards for today's woman. The book is called Exquisitely Imperfect, Choosing Life Unfiltered, and it's something you'll want to pass along to your daughter or granddaughter. Many have selected this book for their women's group at church as well. A copy is yours when you give a much-needed donation to support the work and ministry of Insight for Living. Call 1-800-772-8888. Remember that your financial gift not only entitles you to request the book, more importantly, it's what allows us to bring these daily Bible studies your way. Thanks for doing your part and making sure that Chuck's teaching continues on your station. When you give, be sure to request the book, Exquisitely Imperfect, Choosing Life Unfiltered. This is the last day we'll mention the book, Exquisitely Imperfect. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or online, go to insight.org. Join us again Wednesday when Chuck Swindoll begins a new study of biblical parenting, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stop Criticizing Earth and Start Contemplating Heaven, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.